charged with murder of an Australian, an Arizona man, already facing assault charges for allegedly driving his pickup truck into people participating in a bike race nearly 6 weeks ago, has been charged with murder. An indictment made public.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
I had a piece of kimchi in my beard, and nobody told me until I was sitting here on the roof, and I was like, I smell kimchi. let's get that put together. Today is hello, welcome, one and all. This is like a half of a show because I'm so late, but it is January the 18th, 2023, and it is 1913 UTC. We just listened to some AKB48. I like to play those guys, or those ladies as I come up sometimes. It's a fun song. So hello, welcome to the show. shout out to those in comm, Ratsu and Quentin, X1, Connor, Stug. Hello. Thanks for being here, hanging out. Be sure you stick around at 1930 UTC is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Now that show airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. And, it's a good time. Sorry, I'm just now paranoid that there's other food in my beard, so I'll be checking that in a little bit. But first, let's go ahead and get started. We've got to cram in some news. There's not a lot of death and destruction, but there is some. So I don't want you to lose out and be uninformed because I was getting lunch. There's a story there, but we'll get to it if we have time. First, we're going to jump over here into the world news. What? That's right. Hold on, we got a sound effect for it.
World News.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, today being January the 18th, first, let's talk about polar bears. What? It is not Ghost Bear, but it did kill somebody. A polar bear has killed a woman and a boy in a remote Alaskan village, authorities have said. The bear entered the village of Wales on Tuesday afternoon on the western tip of the Seward Peninsula and began chasing people. As it attacked the woman and boy, it was shot and killed, but the mauling proved to be fatal. Fatal polar bear attacks in Alaska are rare, but experts say encounters with humans will increase as more ice melts. Wales is a small town, mainly consisting of the native Inupiaq people. Around 150 people live in the remote settlement, located over 1,185 miles, or 1,907 kilometers, northwest of Juneau. Initial reports indicate that a polar bear had entered the community and chased multiple residents. State troopers wrote in a dispatch, according to Associated Press. The bear fatally attacked an adult female and juvenile male. The two victims' names were not released. Police and state officials will travel to Wales to investigate once the weather allows, which is a very Alaskan thing to say. A lot of places in Alaska are just cut off during the winter. A 2017 study published by the Wildlife Society found that polar bear attacks on humans increased since 2000 and were more likely to occur between July and December when sea ice covered a smaller area. So, watch out for those bears if you're in Alaska. It's a wild time. Welcome, Prater. Welcome, welcome. Musicron. I don't know what that means. Alright. So, let's keep on moving. So, the bears killed somebody. But don't worry, they're not the only ones killing people. A baby was among the six killed in a possible cartel attack in California. Four generations of one family were killed in what is described as a cartel-like execution at a California residence known to police for drug-related activity. A 16-year-old mother, her 10-month-old son, and the baby's grandmother and great-grandmother were among the victims. The home in Goshen, population 3,000, had been raided by police last week. Police say they're seeking two known suspects in the targeted massacre. In a news conference on Tuesday, Tulare County Sheriff Mike Boudreau did not provide the names of the suspects, but revealed that much was already known to authorities about the tragedy. Police had searched the residence just last week and found stashes of marijuana and methamphetamines. Six people died in the shooting on Monday. Three people survived. None of this was by accident, Mr. Boudreau said. It was deliberate, intentional, and horrific. The victims were identified by investigators. They were 72, 52, 50, 19, 16, and 10 months old. According to Mr. Bordeaux, one survivor lay flat on the floor with their feet against the door in order to prevent the attackers from entering the room. He was in such a state of fear that all he could do was hold the door, hoping he was not the last victim, the sheriff said. The other two hid themselves in a nearby trailer when shots broke out. Police were called to the property by a supervisor at about 3:30 a.m. On Monday, they found two bodies on the street and others inside the home. The child and mother appeared to have been fleeing the scene, and that forensic evidence shows that the killer stood over the victims and fired at their heads from above, which paints a pretty graphic photo or image in the mind if you think about it. Oh my goodness. Kiss. X1 votes for Kiss. I don't know what we're voting on, but hey, you know what? Kisses are better for the world all around. Also, shout out to Tobe. Tobe will be back. He's doing the good work of setting up for his show. All right. Well, we got more news. Don't worry. But those are the two most intense stories about death. Ukraine's interior minister. Well, we got a little bit more, but not as much here. Ukraine's interior minister, deputy among 14 people killed in a helicopter crash. Okay, I'm sorry. We have one more death story. I tricked you. Ukraine's interior minister and his deputy were among 14 people killed on Wednesday when a helicopter crashed near a nursery outside the capital. President Volodymyr Zelensky addressed the Davos Economic Forum via video link later in the day, urging the West. I think I hear a baby bird, and it's kind of weird because it is not the time of year for a baby bird to be getting born. But it's been unusually warm lately. I could see it happening. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Oh well. I can't see the trees well enough to tell. Anyway, sorry, I got a little Tobe If you listen to the Dubious Goals Committee long enough, you start looking out for wildlife everywhere, because you never know. You might see a dude, and then it's a really cool experience. Anyway, there was a helicopter crash and a lot of people died there in the Ukraine. They're hoping people would please hurry up and provide the supplies they need to fight everything. 10 Chinese snooker players, that's a billiards game, governing body suspends some of the sport's biggest names ahead of a formal hearing. 10 Chinese snooker players, including some of the sport's biggest names, have been charged in an alleged match-fixing scandal that plunged the game into a major corruption crisis. The governing World Professional Billiards and Snooker Association said in a statement on Wednesday that an investigation by its integrity unit had found a number of violations by the players. So, all right. Oh, hey, did you check your beard? I have. I checked my beard. No more beard mail. No beard mail. And actually, today after work, I'm going to get a haircut and a beard trim at a barber shop. So I'm hoping that helps get things going. Welcome, Aka. Aka, welcome, welcome. All right, so let's keep on moving. There's a lot of news to cover, not a lot of time, you know, since I'm here so late. The head of Ethiopia's Supreme Court has resigned, and a new appointee has been designated, so there shouldn't be any major crisis from that, but just a heads up, that's going on there. And get this, first nuclear-powered data center at Susquehanna completed. Talon Energy's Cumulus Data says that the power shell for its first 48-megawatt, 300,000-square-foot data center is complete, and with various fiber routes in service. The data center is powered by a direct connection to the 2.5-gigawatt Susquehanna Nuclear Power Station in northeast Pennsylvania. Cumulus Data says the 1,200-acre campus, which is expected to host a Bitcoin mining and cloud computing service, is the first of its kind in the USA, and says there will be value and competitive advantages because the direct connection to the power station means there's no intermediation by legacy electric transmission and distribution utilities. CAO Alex Hernandez said our flagship Cumulus Susquehanna Data Center campus is positioned to welcome its first tenant and commence commercial operation this year. We look forward to advancing our mission to solve the energy trilemma, which we define as the rapidly increasing consumer demand for zero carbon, low cost, and reliable electricity by data center customers. They sure do use a lot of power at data centers, no doubt. There are two additional 48 megawatt power shells in the advanced development in phase one of the project, with an eventual aggregate capacity for the campus of 475 megawatts. Cumulus Data said it has also identified a further 18 Talon Energy sites with potential for data centers directly connected to generation. In 2021, Talon announced a joint venture with the U.S.-based Bitcoin mining company TerraWolf to develop the Nautilus crypto mine at the campus. In an update last week, TerraWolf said it was in the initial stages of ramping its mining operations and expected the crypto mine to provide 50 megawatts of net mining capacity to TerraWolf in the first quarter of 2023. Man. I mean, I guess it's good that Bitcoin mining is using nuclear power as a greener source, but it just makes me crazy. It's wild to think that it's like, you know, you could power major large cities in other parts of the world if with this kind of stuff. Susquehanna's two boiling water reactors have a net generation capacity of 1,257 megawatts electric each. Unit 1 began commercial operation in 1983, and Unit 2 in 1985. So, very exciting and interesting nuclear news there for you. Hey, SCM, welcome, welcome. extracting energy from matter itself, Connor H., yes. Oh, there you go. X1 points out, you need 100 watts for the graphic cards times 1 billion, and that's 100,000 megawatts. welcome back, Tobe. Welcome. All right, so that's what's going on in the nuclear world. We've got about 7 minutes to go, so let's keep it rolling. A website selling abortion... Website selling abortion pills. We won't go through the whole thing, but just to be aware... people that are trying to do good can still end up not doing so great. It's just kind of stressful. Some sites selling abortion pills use technology that shares information with third parties like Google, law enforcement. Google. Law enforcement can potentially use this data to prosecute people who end their pregnancies with this medication. Online pharmacies that sell abortion pills are sharing sensitive data with Google and other third parties, which may allow enforcement to prosecute those who use medication to end their pregnancies. Using a tool created by The Markup, a nonprofit tech journalism newsroom, ProPublica ran checks on 11 online pharmacies that sell abortion medication to reveal the web tracking technology they use. Late last year and in early January, ProPublica found web trackers on the sites of at least 9 online pharmacies that provide pills by mail. Abortionese, bestabortionpill.com, privacypillrx, pillsonlinerx, secureabortionpills, abortionrx, genericabortionpills, abortionprivacy, and onlineabortionpillrx. These third-party trackers include a Google Analytics tool and advertising technology, collect a host of details about users, and feed them to the tech behemoth. And to Alphabet and other third parties, such as LiveChat. Those details include the web address they visited, what they clicked on, the search terms they used to find the website, previous site they visited so they get their referrer, the general location and information about the devices they used, such as whether they were on a computer or phone. This information helps websites function and helps tech companies personalize ads. But by sending that data to Google, they can then connect that with other people. So, anyway, you kind of get where we're going there. So, just as a heads up, wake me up before you go-go. Go-go 13. anyway, let's keep on moving. Abortion is always kind of a funny, strange topic to end on, so we won't do that. But check this out. Ron Jeremy, famed the Hedgehog, also known as that really ugly porn star that's in all these porn movies. He got in some hot water because he is alleged to have assaulted some people, sexually assaulted some people, and committed sex crimes. Well, U.S. adult film star Ron Jeremy has been declared mentally incompetent to stand trial for alleged sex crimes. Mr. Jeremy was indicted on 34 counts of sexual assault, including 12 of rape, over a period of more than 20 years. A Los Angeles judge said on Tuesday that Mr. Jeremy could not face the charges as he was in a state of incurable neurocognitive decline. The 69-year-old has been in prison since his arrest in 2020. He denies any wrongdoing and vowed to clear his name. He wasn't present for the latest hearing. Mr. Jeremy, whose legal name is Ronald Hyatt, became one of the most prolific performers in the adult film industry during a career that began in the 70s. He's featured in hundreds of titles and looked to extend his profile of the world of showbiz more widely. The alleged offenses took place at bars and nightclubs in the Los Angeles area and at Mr. Jeremy's home. He was first charged in 2020. Following the judge's declaration on Tuesday, the same lawyer told the AP news agency it is unfortunate due to mental condition he will not go to trial and have the opportunity to clear his name. A hearing on whether to put Mr. Jeremy in a state-run hospital was set for next month. So, we'll see whether or not he spends the rest of his life in a mental, like in a safe, like a hospital, to take care of him, keep him from the public or not. We've only got about 3 minutes to go, so I'll just give you one other one here. We'll talk about a death story, since we're on the radio. The Supreme Court on Wednesday will hear a case that could make it more difficult for students with disabilities to resolve problems quickly when they're not getting needed assistance in public school. The question for the justices involves a federal law that guarantees disabled students an education specific to their needs. Lawyers for Miguel Luna Perez, a deaf student who attended public school in Sturgis, Michigan, said that for more than a decade, the school system failed to provide him with a qualified sign language interpreter and misled his parents into believing he was on track to earn his high school diploma. Just before graduation, however, his family was told he only qualified for a certificate of completion, not a diploma. His family responded by pursuing claims under two laws, the American with Disabilities Act, which prohibits discrimination, and the Individual with Disabilities Education Act. The IDEA Act is what guarantees children with disabilities a free public education tailored to their needs. Perez's family and the school district ultimately settled the IDEA claims. The school district agreed to pay for extra schooling and sign language instruction for Perez and his family. Among other things, the family then went to federal court and, under the ADA, sought monetary damages, which aren't available under the IDEA. Lower courts, however, said that to sue under the ADA, Perez should not have agreed to a settlement. Former federal education officials are among those who told the court that those lower court decisions are wrong. The officials say upholding them would hurt children with disabilities by forcing them to choose between immediately getting issues resolved but forfeiting other claims and delaying to try to get fuller relief. So, it's a really sad thing, and, well, we're out of time, so that's all we're going to hear about it. Thanks for hanging out, and please enjoy the Dubious Goals Could Be With Tobe. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening.